I'm Dave DeWitt. This is Tested from WUNC, a daily look at how North Carolina is dealing with COVID-19 and what we're learning about ourselves in the face of a global crisis. Today, the peak. It's been the subject of intense research and modeling by renowned experts and a favorite parlor game for the rest of us. When will we hit the peak? It's an elusive concept, to be sure. Even the best models disagree about when, where, and how we'll get there, or even how many peaks there might be. But the models are all we have as we start to think and plan about when, where, and how to dial back social distancing.
We want to get back to work, while at the same time preventing that spike that will overwhelm our hospitals with COVID-19 patients.
At his latest press briefing, Governor Roy Cooper explained how his administration would try to strike that balance.
In order to ease restrictions, we need to make progress in three areas: testing, tracing, and trends.
Testing and tracing could help contain new outbreaks, but that third T, trends, could decide how North Carolina emerges from this crisis, starting with the most pressing question.
Where do we go from here?
Let's start there with Aaron McKeithen. He's a senior fellow in the Duke Margolis Center for Health Policy and one of the researchers working on models in North Carolina. He spoke with producer Will Michaels about the peak and what we know and don't know.
It does seem like we're overly obsessed with a specific day, and sort of obsessing about which model says which day. The truth is there's a lot of uncertainty around all the models, so we're all in some band of uncertainty. The models that I've seen and been a part of are in the May to June timeframe for what I'll call the initial peak, right? The June timeframe is based on assumptions about the effectiveness of the social distancing policies that are effectively flattening the curve, as we've all heard. The ones that seem to be nearer at hand now to early to mid-May are those that have some assumption about more people getting sick quicker than that. So a lot of it depends on what the models are actually assuming about the state of policy. And of course, all we know right now is that the state is in a statewide lockdown until the end of the month at least. And then the question is, what happens then?
Regardless of when that peak might be, how do we know when we hit it?
I've been using a hurricane metaphor to describe the kind of models that are used, because I think North Carolinians are familiar with when a weather forecaster says there's a X percent chance of a hurricane on Thursday. We kind of have some cognitive understanding what's meant by that. But what's different here, of course, the reason that metaphor breaks down very quickly is that we actually can influence the path and intensity of the storm, unlike a hurricane. So I think on the other side of the peak, however it's measured, whether it's through cases or through the rates of hospitalizations, a lot depends on how society responds and what the policies are once we get beyond the peak. Some of the work that we've put out in the last week or two suggests the infeasibility of flipping a light switch and going all the way back in. That's a scenario we call internally party time. You know, it would be nice if we could all flip a switch and go back to life, in February, so to speak. I think the reality is it's going to be more gradual than that. I think of it as not one peak, but a series of these peaks. And our job in the public arena, all of us, is to think about how to prepare for the second, third, and beyond peaks.
I was going to ask you kind of how do we avoid a second peak, right? But you're talking about, this not necessarily looking like a perfect curve. You're talking about multiple peaks.
Well, it really just depends on a few factors. Number one, can we find a medicine that's effective in treating this? Number two, can there be a vaccine? Those would be game changers. They would change everything else I'm saying. Absent those things, you have an infectious disease that wants to spread. And the only thing inhibiting it from doing so is keeping people separated. I think the new norm is going to be a bit of a throttling. The metaphor I've been using this week is a dimmer switch rather than a light switch. It's going to be a little bit more like, let's turn up a little bit more openness, particularly for those who are needing to get back to work most urgently. But I could imagine a scenario, for example, where You know, we continue to encourage companies that can telework and do Zoom meetings during the day to continue doing that as beyond the next month or two.
The model that that obviously gets a lot of attention is the one from University of Washington. I know you're familiar with it. It keeps talking about a peak that would come this week. So maybe it's just a good idea to step back and talk about the differences in models. What accounts for those differences?
Yeah, that's a great question. So understanding the structure of the models is helpful. Another is understanding the assumptions being made about the models themselves. So for example, the University of Washington study that folks have cited looks very positive in general. But when you read more carefully, what it's assuming is that we have really aggressive ongoing shelter-in-place type stay-at-home orders in place for some time, and that they may be adjusting their model now. But when you look at that against the models that we've run in this state, they're actually telling a very similar story. If you maintain these kinds of policies, guess what? The health system has a lot less stress. There's not a lot of disagreement there. The disagreement comes on the dates of the peak. They all make assumptions about things that we don't know. It's like solving an algebra problem with so many variables fixed that are hidden. We don't actually know the number of people who are infected by this virus. We don't actually know how many people have died.
We're just asking you to predict the future, Aaron.
Well, it's a fun thing to do. It's a fun thing to try to do. And honestly, these models can be so frustrating because they don't produce the answers that everyone wants. On the other hand, I often ask, well, what would you do without them? You would base your decisions on Twitter and TV and your gut opinion. But we ultimately need to be somewhat grounded and somewhat principled how we use data, but also humble enough to know that they're not an easy button that will produce exactly when everything will happen.
I've found it just, I don't know if I want to say helpful as much as just comforting to keep reminding myself, though, that this does have an end to it, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think at some point there will be an end to it. I have a lot of faith in, you know, many of the often villainized aspects of our healthcare economy are now busy at work looking for cures, right? A lot of the hospitals that are, we often complain about having too high a price for services, driving up our overall costs, which is all true. They're hard at work figuring out how to flex their capacity. And one thing that I think has become clear to us is that we need nationally a lot more focus and investment in our public health infrastructure. So that when these things pop back up, the so-called second peak of this virus or some other one, that we have the tools and the toolkit. We're not building the apparatus that's going to help us get through it as we're using it.
In other words, it opens up a lot of very interesting questions about our systems, not just their vulnerabilities, but maybe ways that they could or should be changed.
I think that's right. I mean, I my kids and I were talking about what school would look like and what jobs would look like right now if we didn't have the internet. And so, you know, we're all privileged to some degree, but there's a lot of people suffering. For example, we hear a lot about broadband access in North Carolina. We've been talking about broadband access in rural areas for 25 years. We need to solve that, not just for the next pandemic, but because there are inequalities associated with normal life, but they get manifested significantly when you have a pandemic situation like this.
That's Duke Health Policy Professor and Metaphor Guru Aaron McKeithen. Hang tight, more in a moment.
Tested is a production of WUNC North Carolina Public Radio. And this is a good time to say thank you to everyone who supports WUNC. Whether you're an individual donor or a business, we cannot say thank you enough for providing us with the resources and opportunity to serve the state of North Carolina with up-to-the-minute news and information. Everyone at WUNC is working around the clock to do just that at this unique and perilous moment in our history, and we couldn't manage without your help. So thank you. And if you're able, please go to WUNC.org if you want to donate for the first time or perhaps increase your support.
A growing chorus of business leaders and conservative advocates are calling for the state to open up the economy more quickly than Governor Roy Cooper has proposed. That, while health experts and scientists are calling for social distancing to continue longer, to avoid more deaths now and a future new surge. Earlier today, public policy polling helped answer the question about what North Carolinians think. Asked how they thought the state had handled the pandemic response, 69% of poll respondents said just right. Only 15% thought the state had overreacted. Asked the same question about the federal response, 44% said underreacted, and 42% said just right. And before you write this poll off as biased because PPP often is hired by Democratic candidates, North Carolinians in this poll said they voted for Trump in 2016 by a 47-43 margin. It seems pretty clear that the next several weeks will be consumed by the debate over when and where to, quote, open up the state. We all live in bubbles, and these answers are a reminder that people feel pretty confident in how things have been handled in North Carolina so far. That's it for this episode of Tested. I'm Dave DeWitt. Will Michaels produces the podcast. Lindsay Foster Thomas is the executive producer. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.